Hi. How are you? It's a question people like to ask all the time, right? We ask it of people that we live with in our household. We ask it of people that we see every day. We ask it of people that we just met 2 minutes ago or 30 seconds ago. Hi, how you doing? I said it to a couple of you this morning. Fine, thanks. Right? I'm fine. Think about it. How often have you participated in an exchange like that? Now, I meet a lot of people over the course of a week, and I tried to keep count this week of how many times I said to someone, or someone said that to me. And of course, I completely lost count. It was dozens and dozens of times. And I realized, of course, that it's kind of something we're programmed to say. It sort of becomes mindless after a while. And unfortunately, it becomes just a hollow sentiment. But really, I want to ask you this morning, how are you? For the last couple of months, Dave has been taking us through the book of Romans. And one of the things I really love about these series that Dave does is he really gives us the big picture. He gives us the context. He gives us the historical background. He tells us what was going on, which gives us insight into what we're reading. And that's always the best way to read Scripture, read the Bible, is by understanding what was being said to the people to whom the letter was written. So while I was thinking about today's message, I couldn't help but to compare some of the stresses that we are collectively experiencing today with our situation and what our brothers and sisters of first century Rome experienced. Now, none of us have been forcibly removed from our homes. None of us have had a gun pointed at us, at least not yet. Or maybe a sword. Maybe I sort of should say a sword. None of us have had a sword pointed at us. But our world and their world had been turned upside down. Are you feeling like that lately? Are you feeling like the proverbial carpet has been torn out from underneath you? In Romans, the 8th chapter, and this is, as Dave said, this is your Romans bonus week. So in Romans, the 8th chapter, amidst all that they had endured, the first century Romans, we find these words, Romans 8, verse 6, from Paul to the church at Rome. He says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." This year, our country has experienced huge spikes in substance abuse and suicide. To say that 2020 has been a tumultuous year is an understatement. So again, I ask you, how are you? Is your mind being governed by the Spirit? Are you at peace? Do you feel at peace in your life, or are you troubled by one or more things? Or do you parrot to yourself the standard response of, "I'm fine"? What are you really feeling inside? So because of COVID-19, we're meeting online and we're meeting outdoors. For some of us, the virus is a real risk to life and to health. More windage. But for all of us, there are other significant effects. For example, Laura and I have found that 19 is the number of pounds we collectively gained during the lockdowns earlier this year. If that were the extent of it, it wouldn't be so bad, right? But there is real tragedy as well. And fortunately for us, my family, that is, we haven't really been touched by tragedy, but that's not true. You know that I'm involved with some of these sports facilities in the area, and I have one young man, not even 18 yet. And right at the beginning of this, when not much was known about the virus or how to treat it, his father, a man younger than myself, caught the virus, ended up in the hospital, ended up on a ventilator, and it was about 2 weeks later and he was gone. The reality is that many people are living through loss and hardship and suffering. There is depression, there is anxiety, there are countless stresses. One doesn't need to look very far to see these consequences. The University of Southern California did a survey of about 7,000 adults that was conducted earlier this year between the middle of March and the end of May. They found that 40% of U.S. residents reported feeling anxious. 29% said they felt depressed, specifically due to the COVID-19 crisis. Even more scary, the clothespin works. Even more scary, a recent CDC survey found that 11% of respondents had seriously considered suicide as a result of the crisis. And really frighteningly, the percentage jumps to 25% for people between the ages of 18 and 24. We have economic stresses, we have social isolation, we have decreased access to the communities like this one that help us and support us and encourage us and keep us going. People are not getting the medical treatment in all cases that they need, especially earlier in the year. People weren't able to get their chemotherapy, routine vaccinations, and routine health care led to an uptick in medical issues. Aside from COVID, family, we cycle through these periods of challenge and disappointment, as well as success and achievement. There is so much that goes on around us that we can't control. But in one phrase, the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. Paul places the focus on something that each one of us can control and which can and should lead us to a state of inner peace. If for whatever reason you are feeling stressed and you are lacking inner peace, it will help you to focus or maybe refocus yourself in three ways: intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. So intellectually, remind yourself of the truths that you have come to know. Let's go back and let's look at the verse in the context of the chapter. Let's start at the beginning of Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Zip. Zero. Zilch. Nada. How many ways can you think of to say nothing? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. It no longer reigns over you if you don't allow it to. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. See, Paul could have made his point citing any number of aspects of the gospel. But I think perhaps he chose to emphasize this particular truth about no condemnation because it's personal. It's about you. It's about your importance, your individual worth to Father. If there is any one truth that is critical for us to have burned into our psyches, maybe this is the one. But don't stop with just this one truth. Remember that Father is doing a work. There is a purpose. There is order. There is a plan. And the things that men decide to do have no impact whatsoever on Father's plan for his children and for each of his children. Father works his will, sometimes through the decisions of those in authority, and I suspect more often in spite of them. So, how are you? Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Do you let your mind dwell entirely on what is going on in the world? I think when we read the phrase, the mind governed by the flesh, you know, we focus in on that word. We tend to think more about our personal appetites, how we manage our bodies. But I would encourage you to take a broader view here. Are we focused entirely on the things of this world? Or are we focused on the future that Father has promised? I know for myself, family, that this is a day-to-day struggle. I get up in the morning and I've got 20 things going through my head about what I have to do that day. And 20 more that I put on my calendar, because if I don't put it on my calendar, it's gone. So maybe it's time in your life for an intellectual reset and to refocus on the truths that can only be found in God's word, knowing that God will do, God will complete all that he has said, all that he has promised. In your innermost self, what do you really believe? Do you believe that Father is able to do everything he said? Do you believe in the total sufficiency of Jesus' sacrifice? Do you believe that despite the harshest and most adverse of situations, that Father is by your side, no matter what the outcome? Do you believe that he is in control? Or do you believe that the government of man is in control? if you have fully absorbed the basic truths of the gospel. You know, and you know that you should know, and you know that you know that God is doing a work that no man can thwart or put aside. Continuing in Romans chapter 8. And so he, Jesus, he condemned sin in the flesh through being physically here in this world, in sharing the truths of what God was doing, and finally, through his death, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law, loving God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself, might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, who are not totally focused entirely on what's going on in this world, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh, as we said, is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. It's easy to get upset by what we see happening or going on around us, but it is pointless to allow oneself to become worked up emotionally, especially over things we cannot control or change. If that is happening in your life, if you find yourself emotionally upset and stirred up, remind yourself intellectually of one or more of Father's promises. And then I encourage you to go find a quiet place where you can think about and meditate on the big picture. Maybe take a walk, maybe go for a drive. Do something that you find relaxing, either in solitude or with a person with whom you can share your deepest feelings and concerns. Emotions, it's difficult. I know it. We all know it. Are difficult to control, but we must try, and it can be done. The most important component of achieving inner peace is the spiritual. In John chapter 14, as Jesus was about to face a bogus trial, excruciating pain, and finally death, Jesus had this to say to his disciples in John chapter 14, starting in verse 25. He said, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The disciples didn't understand it at that particular point, but they remembered it because it got written down and it got recorded. Some of us here, if you want to show your age, are old enough to remember the peace movement of the 1970s. Anyone remember having the peace sign flashed? Anyone remember this? Oh, yeah. Well, a couple of us anyway. It was largely an anti-war movement. And while the sentiments were noble, I think we as Christians understand that peace on a national or global level is more than just the absence of war. But that's the best that man's world can give us. On a personal level, however, peace is not just the absence of turmoil. The personal, individual peace that Jesus was describing to his disciples is an inner peace which has nothing to do with the world or external circumstances and events. Inner peace is not merely the lack of something negative or destructive, but rather the presence of something that's positive and uplifting. And allowing the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, into our minds and our hearts leads to that inner peace that Jesus said he was both leaving to the disciples and giving to the disciples. It is a process. It takes work. But the results will come if we allow the Spirit to work in our lives. As I mentioned, the disciples did not understand everything Jesus was telling them. But then, when the day of Pentecost arrived, and when they finally encountered the Holy Spirit in a very direct way, everything changed. They had a new perspective. The fear was gone. They had absolute confidence in all that Jesus told them. And everything started falling into place. They knew, and they knew that they knew. And that's the way it can be for each of us. The mind governed by the flesh, the cares, the concerns, the desires of life in general is death. Fear, anxiety, depression. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I don't do Facebook, but Laura does. Sorry, honey, I added you. And she showed me this meme on Facebook. And it was a still shot from the original, I don't need it, from the original Back to the Future movie. Right? I'm sure everyone here has seen Back to the Future. Well, I hope anyway. Otherwise, this is going to go over like a lead balloon. But it was a still shot. And Marty, you remember Marty McFly, was sitting in the driver's seat in the DeLorean. And Doc was standing over him, pointing things out to him. And the caption on the bottom said, "The first rule of time travel is never go to 2020. Family, we are so blessed that Christians are not persecuted in this country in extreme ways that are experienced by Christians in other parts of the world. And we should, by the way, be mindful in praying for the persecuted church, for persecuted Christians, of whom there are many. And yet, we do not know what we may be called upon to endure in the future. Yes, even here in the United States. But it is my hope, family. It is my hope that each one of us is firmly anchored to Father through Jesus, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. And that we are able each day, through those basic and essential tools of prayer, study, and meditation, to see well beyond the physical circumstances And as was said in the song that was sung for us earlier, and that we have internalized the phrase, all things work together for good for those who love God. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father, we are yours. We belong to you and we live for you through Jesus. And we are just so thankful, Father, that we can have inner peace, that we can rest assured of what you are doing, and that no one can interfere with what you are doing. We pray, dear God, we ask that you would be with us each individually, that you would help us to have peace in our lives and to be focused on the things that are important and that really, really count. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for the love that you show to us. We thank you for the caring that you have for us. We just pray for these times, these difficult times to pass. And while we wait for that, Father, we just pray that you would see us through it. So we thank you and we praise you and we give you our love and our worship in and through Jesus, our Savior. Amen.